Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekend discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
My guest today is Victor Perez, a longtime friend, a longtime client. Victor, how are you?
Fine, and yourself?
Good. Glad to have you back here.
Glad
to have you have in Puerto Rico. Victor has spent, what was this, 97, was it, that you left Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico, no, 1990
left, yes. Puerto Rico. So he's been, we're going to talk during the course of this conversation, we're going to talk about the different places he's gone, but he's left Puerto Rico. He's one of these people, executives who developed under a 936 company and moved out of Puerto Rico with opportunities that were available, and has had a fascinating career, not only in Puerto Rico with the company, Storch Technology, but also with other companies that we're going to cover during the course of this conversation. Victor, we met, I think, 79,
That's
80
correct.
Maybe, because Storch came in 78, and it was a client that I took care of from the very beginning when Bill Mansfield, the financial guy, came. Funny story is that when you applied to Storch, you thought it was for logistics and warehousing. You thought it was a storage of inventory. And
but to be honest with you, was worse than that. I used to think it was a moving company, okay. Because it was storage technology, and you know, I didn't know too much at that time. So you know, it sounds storage. It sounds like moving company. That's really what you know. That's how I went there the first time.
and what's great is discovering the new technology. Storage is the storage of data, and storage is technology was expert in large, massive storage like the IRS, the Social Security, these huge storage equipment. That's what you were producing.
That's correct. We were producing both tapes products. Big tapes libraries and this storage subsystem, basically for the enterprise or for big unit, as you mentioned, the IRS, the Library of Congress, you know, people that require massive amount of data.
It was like as I recall, it was like a big refrigerator freezer thing that they had to ship out of here. And then you had what we call libraries, where you put a series of these.
That's right.
Freezer-like things interconnected for the huge insurance companies and all, you started off in controller.
That's right.
It was right, and then you moved little by little. Well, not that little by little, but you moved on to be the general manager, the running the operation. At one time, Storch had operations in both Mayagüez and in Ponce, and it was about 1,800, 2,000.
The peak was about 980 employees.
980. Oh, I thought,
yes.
It was okay.
Yes.
Even with documentation.
Even with documentation.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you had at one time in Puerto Rico, you also had Melbourne, Florida.
Melbourne. That was another 400 employees.
Another 400. So you were traveling Mayagüez, Ponce, and Melbourne. You moved through, and when you think back in storage technology. What was the biggest challenge? I mean, in terms of a moment that you really lost a lot of sleep for many days over.
Let me tell you about this. You know, I can say that storage technology was one of the best job for me because it allowed me to develop under the 936 provision, tax provision. I think the biggest challenge for me was back in 1986 when the company was forced to go into bankruptcy, and the reason for that was not because the business was not profitable. The reason that we went into bankruptcy was because we were expanding. You know, we wanted to be like IBM, not only do the storage unit but also do the service, the server. So we overexpanded, and at that time we realized that we were going over our head. So we came back and was file for bankruptcy and reduce the operation of the company. Well, that created a very challenging opportunity for me because so far until that year, the main purpose of Puerto Rico was to take advantage of the tax code. You know, I mean, we were only paying 5% because the company in Puerto Rico had the most profitable products. And because of that, you know, we were able to save a lot in taxes. Well, when you apply for bankruptcy, it means that you have a lot of losses, so you don't need a tax exemption. So what used to be an incentive became a disincentive. So, and with Jorge, and I have to say this, you know, he did a great job for us. We went back to the government and create a section in the law that used to be called the storage tech provision, which basically allow that as long as you have
it was losses on a consolidated basis.
On a consolidated basis, we want to have to pay the 5%. And you may say, well, the 5%, you know, was a small amount. Well, 5% of 100 million is $5 million. So, you know, and when you are in bankruptcy, so that was the biggest challenge for me, because suddenly from having an advantage, a financial advantage, I had a disadvantage. So I'm going to have to go to the government, and again, and Jorge did a fantastic job to change the law, so the law allows to keep the employment in Puerto Rico, which we were very successful at.
And then, of course, all the way through, and all the Puerto Rico managers like you, the great managers, the challenge of keeping expenses and costs and profits as high as possible. That's a day by day. But I guess when you're in bankruptcy and you're convincing the parent company to maintain your operation here, besides the tax exemption, you have to even be more lean, more mean, more competitive.
So that's correct, because the challenge when you have that, you know, for example, at that time we had about 16,000 employees worldwide and only about 900 plus in Puerto Rico. And let's be honest, for when a company is under pressure, you know, and it's a company, for example, in this case, a Colorado company, you know, they go to the supermarket and they would have to explain why they're laying off people there and not in Puerto Rico. So that by itself was a big challenge. The community pressure from where this company was founded, saying, you know, you're keeping all the jobs in Puerto Rico, why you're doing that when we are here? So, I mean, that was, and I have to give credit to the government of Puerto Rico because they were very helpful in making the change. Otherwise, we would have been gone pretty fast.
Okay. And then you I mean, and storage was a major player. Mm-hmm. They had 40-50% of the market in this.
Yes, on this tape market, you know, we had about 46% of the market. Okay, so we had a big share of the market. We were about a $2 billion company at that time.
Okay. And when you leave Puerto Rico, and then you say it was 1990, so
yes.
What was the job offer? What was the reason for it?
Well, that was a very big surprise. You know, I was here in Puerto Rico, to be honest with you. You know, it was a big operation, so I had a pretty nice job. So they came back to me and say, at that time.
And Ponce is where you grew up. And
that's
Ponce
right.
Were all your friends. I mean, you were yeah. sitting pretty. You were
yeah,
a big,
I
you
am
were
the
a
king.
Big, you were
the
a
king
big
on
man.
The hill. The king on the hill.
You used to go to the Hilton, and you were big.
Mr. Perez. You know. So then I went to Europe. They decided that you know, at that time, of those $2 billion, about $800 million were coming from Europe, but we only have sales offices, and in Europe. And basically, all these countries were independent. You know, you have a president of France, a president of Britain, and you know, but all of them were sales officer. Well, at that time, was the unification was coming to the market, and everybody was concerned what was going to happen when the unification of Europe happened. So the big concern was that they were going to raise wall to protect their products. That or products that were not being manufactured in there. So we wanted to build, not to unite all those offices into a company, a storage technology of Europe, which include not only sales offices, but also manufacturing and also development. So they select me, the CEO of the company, select me for a couple of reasons. The first one was because of my operational experience, you know. Since I was in Puerto Rico, I was running Puerto Rico plus Melbourne, which was a pretty big size facility, but also, you know, the cultural differences. So they knew that there were very cultural differences, because Europe, even though it was one Europe, was the composition of 16 or 17 countries that have different cultures, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how the CEO of the company select me and say, because you don't know anything about Europe, you're going to give me the best financial position.
You had never been there, right?
And I only been there once.
Once.
You know, to Rome. So, okay. So, I mean, he said, you know, I want
to... You went to see the Pope and then left.
That's right. So I went... So they sent me to Europe. And when I arrived to Europe with this mission, I had the big mission. I was going to convert all these search offices. I'm going to convert that into Storage Tech Europe. I was going to establish... development centers, I was going to establish facilities, I was going to establish partnership with European company, etc., etc. And when I got there, all the Europeans were mad because, you know, the relationship between, for example, Britain and France, you know, even though they're in Europe, there's not too much love there. You know, the British don't think highly of the French, the French don't think, you know, of the royal family in Britain and so on. So I remember that Britain or England was one of the biggest branches of at that time they were selling about 150 million, which was a big number, you know, at that time. So I go there and say, the guy look at me and say, why they select you? You don't know Europe, you have never been in Europe. I mean, you are from Puerto Rico. And I said, that's exactly...
You don't even speak English
that's
well.
Right. That's right.
He said... And we're talking about 20 years ago.
That's right.
Your English was not as good as it is today.
So the guy looked at me and said, who are you from Puerto Rico? I mean, you know how many people are in Puerto Rico? 3 million? And you're going to come here and make all those big decisions? And I just laugh and say, exactly because of that. Because I don't care about Europe. I have not been in Europe. I'm going to make the best financial decision. It, no matter if it's in France, Germany, Belgium, Italy, or Spain, you know. So that was a big challenge. So at the beginning, everybody was looking at me like the crazy Puerto Rican going around trying to do all the thing when I didn't know anything. So it was a very challenging job. So basically, I moved to London in 1990. I lived in London about a year permanently there. And I went and visited 9 countries and 27 cities. And then I start, you know, reducing the number of alternatives. And then the second year, I was traveling. I moved back to Colorado. I moved to Colorado, and then I was traveling every other week. So to make a long story short,
out of each month, 2 weeks you were in Europe.
2 weeks I was in Europe. I used to take a flight every other Sunday out of DIA before. So, you know, was a 12 hours and 22 minutes.
I remember a joke where you had frequent flyer up the bazoo.
That's right.
And you said, it's incredible in life, you know. The last thing I want to do is take a plane. And I have all these frequent flyer miles. They want me to fly some more. You know, this is crazy.
That's right. So at the end, I went and did a criteria of where we were going to build all these facilities. And I nailed down to 3 countries. One was England. The other one was Ireland, Dublin, and the third one was Toulouse, France. And the CEO, the CFO, and myself, we were in the last round to select the place. And I remember we went first to England, and of course everybody felt comfortable because it's English and blah, blah, blah. Then we went to Dublin, and it's about the same, you know. And then in our way to Toulouse, which was the third one, the CEO looked at me and said, why are we going to France? He said, and he wanted to really build the facilities in Germany. But I told him, you know, the facilities in Germany are going to be too expensive. And he kept pushing me on, what are we going to France? And I said, well, that's why you pay me a lot of money, to give you the best financial option. And we went to Toulouse, and he agreed with me that was the best financial option.
And then there was a funny story in terms of the inauguration, and he put a bet you as to the inauguration to make
That's
sure.
That's correct. You know, he wanted to ensure that, you know, you select France, you're going to pay for this. So you need to learn France. So he made a bet with me, said, you know, in the inauguration of this facility, which was a state-of-the-art facility, because it was not only a facility, but it was going to be the headquarters for Europe, where we were going to bring customers to the facility. So he said, you know, I'm going to bet to you that on the inauguration day, whoever gets the best French speech will pay the other $5,000. So we made a bet. So I spent a lot of time, you know, and imagine, you know.
You're a competitive guy. That's for $5,000, you weren't going to lose. I know you. So you play golf today. You're
so
a
what I did, I worked with that. I made a very, very simple speech. You know, maybe a first grade speech, you know, some speech that I knew I could deliver that. So we went there to the dedication, and he didn't have the guts. I don't think that he even was thinking of doing that. He was just pushing me to ensure that I learned the local language. So, and I gave my very, very basic speech. And I think people were laughing since I started to the time I finished. But I got my $5,000.
That's a great story. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and move on. From storage technology, we'll move on to storage tech because you went on and did some great things there, and then what you've done after that. So we'll be right back. Take a break.